This podcast is sponsored by HSBC. When it's time to take your business international or take your international presence to a whole new level, HSBC has the network to connect you to the world. Search HSBC International to learn more.
Home price growth remains strong, but how long will it last?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Home prices in the U.S. continued their strong growth pace late last year. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller indices measuring home prices across the nation rose 5.6% in November from a year earlier. That's up from the revised 5.5% growth rate in October. Here to talk about the growth in home prices and how long it might last is Wall Street Journal housing reporter Laura Cusisto. Laura, this is a pretty impressive growth rate considering home prices set a record in September and have continued to rise at least 5% since then, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we are kind of hitting new records every single month, which considering that kind of dramatic boom and bust we had, we really had a decade where it took home prices to get back up to where they'd been before. And so I think one way to read this is things are finally returning to normal. We're finally charting a pretty smooth course.
And this must be great news for homeowners and potential sellers concerned about their property values.
Right, exactly. So it's great news for homeowners, especially if you're someone who bought in maybe 2011 or 2012. You've seen your home appreciate, say, 20%. Less good news if you're a first-time buyer because prices are getting further and further out of reach, especially considering that rents have gone up. So it's hard to save for a down payment.
And especially considering that incomes have been stagnant for so long. I think they're starting to rise, but obviously they haven't kept up with the pace of rising home prices.
Yeah, they've just started to rise, and there is hope that that will help boost home prices and demand for homes even further. But for sure, they remain, in terms of the growth of the last 5 years, well behind the growth in home prices.
Laura, tell us about some of the hottest markets in the country when it comes to home prices.
So there's been an interesting shift over the course of this year. For a while, we were always talking about San Francisco, San Jose, those California tech-heavy markets. But those markets got so expensive that there's some evidence that the sort of hot spots have shifted a little bit to the west. And so now we're seeing Seattle, Portland, and also Denver further north, seeing huge sort of double-digit gains in prices. And those markets are really interesting because those are markets that have been kind of sleepy traditionally. And so there's a lot of kind of stress around there for home buyers, for younger home buyers, with the fact that prices are going up so much.
Any other hotspot areas in the country when it comes to home prices outside of the West and Northwest?
So in general, you're much better off if you're a homeowner being on the West Coast than even in the Northeast. We've just seen this huge divide in terms of how prices in the West have recovered versus how prices in the East have recovered. And that's partly because of the strong tech sectors there.
Laura, is this home price growth expected to last? This report was issued just as mortgage rates started to climb in anticipation of higher interest rates under President Donald Trump.
Yeah, so that's a very good question. I mean, for sure what economists will tell you is that interest rates and mortgage rates haven't climbed enough to have a significant impact on home prices. They're still very low by historical standards. But I do think they have a psychological impact. For people who are in their 20s and 30s who've never seen mortgage rates above, more than 4%, it's a real shock for them when they start to go up, even if it's only by a little bit. So there's some sense of that as the continued to climb, that could have some dampening effect on home prices. And then also the factors that we talked about, affordability could at some point start to lead to a pullback in home price growth.
What about sales? I think there was a decline in the last reading in existing home sales. I wonder if the fact that prices put homes out of reach for a lot of people, that'll leave houses on the market and the supply may climb and that could depress prices.
Yeah, so there was a pretty significant decline in both existing and new home sales. It's always hard to tell from 1 month of data, but for sure, I think there's a sense that maybe that was partly mortgage rates and maybe it was partly affordability, not only for new home buyers, but even if you own your own home already, you might be hesitant to put it on the market if you feel like there's not going to be a lot of inventory that you can afford. And so I think we have some sense that even existing homeowners are kind of holding back a little bit from putting their homes in the market because there is so little inventory and so little affordable inventory.
I'm speaking with Wall Street Journal housing reporter Laura Cusisto, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, UberPool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm speaking with Laura Cosisto of The Wall Street Journal. Laura, on another topic, there was a quarterly report released by the Census Bureau saying that home ownership declined. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so these two things are in some ways related. As home prices have climbed, they've gotten more out of reach for younger households. And so what we're seeing is that younger households are maybe breaking out on their own, setting off on their own, leaving their parents' basements, but they're becoming renters and they're not becoming homeowners. And that's led to the homeownership rate really hovering around sort of 63.5% when normal is closer to 65%. And that's a pretty actually significant difference and something that is sort of frustrating policymakers. There's this sense that, you know, homeownership is the American dream and they should be kind of encouraging more people to get into it. But I think for a combination of reasons, affordability of homes, the psychological scars of the housing bust, and this fact that people just kind of want to live in cities and don't want to worry about being homeowners, all those things are colliding and people are young people in particular are really putting off homeownership.
Yeah, I get the feeling that home ownership as the American dream doesn't have as much cash as it used to.
Yeah, I think that most people sort of eventually want to own a home, but the sense that, you know, you graduate from college, you get a job, you get married, and you own a house and you do it really quickly in that order, that no longer applies to people.
Wall Street Journal reporter Laura Cosisto, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the News Desk in New York.
Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.